I'm here today with Professor Gary Sick, Senior Research Scholar at Columbia University's School of International and Public Affairs. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Professor Sick.
It's a pleasure.
President Obama and President Rouhani spoke on the phone on Friday, the first direct talks between U.S. and Iranian presidents since 1979. What is the significance of this for the relationship between the two countries?
Well, I think for one thing, it puts the lack of a handshake in a different kind of perspective, that basically the two sides had an opportunity yesterday to have a serious discussion between the foreign ministers, who spoke without note takers privately between the two of them for 30 minutes. Both of them sounded very upbeat at the end of those conversations. It was very clear that the conversations had been productive, and it is now clear that President Obama, who took the initiative to call President Rouhani on his way to the airport, also saw it as a positive sign, and he says unequivocally in his report on the conversation that both leaders believe that it is possible to arrive at a negotiated settlement to the nuclear issue. That, it seems to me, is about as good as anybody could have hoped for a four-day meeting, five-day visit by the new president of Iran to the United States. He has broken every single one of the limits that have existed in the past. We had direct contacts between senior American officials and Iranian officials, not just the Secretary of State, but actually a number of his subordinates, talked to a number of Iranian subordinates. There were serious negotiations. The Iranians sat in on a meeting of the P5 plus one at the ministerial level, which is unprecedented. The position that they took in that meeting was also unprecedented in terms of proposing a negotiated settlement that was at least for Secretary Kerry to believe that it was worth pursuing. And Rouhani made a number of public addresses, not only to the UN, but to the non-aligned movement and to private groups as well as television and other media. So it was a whirlwind of a week, and I think any questions about sincerity on the two sides should have been put to rest. We, curiously enough, right after the phone conversation, President Rouhani sent out a set of tweets directly to President Obama, thanking him for his hospitality and wishing him a good day. I don't think that's happened before.
That certainly seems unprecedented, and I'm curious what you think. If Rouhani really does seem so sincere, but does he have the political capital to move the country forward in this direction to the extent that he seems to want to?
Well, he says he does, and I think that he's probably the best judge of that. He's a very serious fellow. He is not a grandstander. He isn't, like Ahmadinejad was, simply looking for publicity at all costs without really caring what damage he did. Rouhani, I saw him twice in the course of this week and spent 1 hour in a group talking to him, and he really knows what he's talking about. He's quite confident in his views. He has been the personal representative of the Supreme Leader in their National Security Council for 25 years, and he has participated in every major strategic and security decision that Iran has made in the last quarter century. He is obviously trusted and respected by the Supreme Leader. Nobody can make a judgment about what his relationship is with the Supreme Leader better than he can, and he seems to think that he had plenty of authorization to make the statements that he made and do what he's doing. So he showed no signs of being nervous or concerned or hiding behind anything. He was quite straightforward. Some of his words didn't please everybody that he talked to. There were people who wished he would go further, but he clearly was in command of his brief, and he clearly felt that what he was doing was well within the authorization that he had from the Supreme Leader and the Revolutionary Guard. There are going to be hardliners in Iran who will criticize him. They're really apoplectic about all of this because it removes their favorite enemy. And I must say that we're going to see much the same kind of reaction in the United States, where it's been wonderful to have Mr. Ahmadinejad to kick around and that has served the hardliners' interests very well. He's not there anymore, and this is not Ahmadinejad. It's a very different person, and I think it's going to take a while, but I think the American public and the American administration, the American elite, is quickly coming to that conclusion.
Obama has said that the test now will be meaningful, transparent, and verifiable actions, which could ultimately lead to a reduction, maybe even an end, in sanctions. What steps do you think the U.S. administration would like to see next?
From what I understand, and this has all been put out in very general terms, Mr. Zarif, the new foreign minister of Iran, proposed to the P5 plus one a broad framework outlining sort of where we want to go to how to get to an end state, and has also specified that they've given various time frames, but it's clear that they at least want to get this done within a year, and they would like to get it done within 6 months or even 3 months if possible. Nobody that I know believes that it can be done that quickly. On the other hand, when the ice starts breaking, it sometimes surprises you how fast things can. In fact, the political will exists on both sides. The broad outlines of an agreement which would cap Iranian enrichment at some level, would put all of their enriched material, say, under the control of the IAEA, get rid of their 20% enriched uranium and replace it with fuel plates from the outside that would supply their Tehran nuclear reactor and so forth. These points have been discussed ad infinitum and are well known to the parties, are well known even to people like me who have not been involved in the negotiation. So figuring out where to go from here is not that hard if people are willing to do it. And Iran has said over and over again that it is quite willing, in fact, to provide concrete assurances that would involve access, that would involve inspections, that would involve monitoring by the IAEA of their system. Transparency, verifiable, and in return, they would expect to see the lifting of sanctions and other coercive pressures by the United States. That's the deal. And whether the two parties can agree on the fine points remains to be seen. We're going to have the first meeting in October 15th and 16th. There will be the first meeting of the P5 plus one with Iran, with Foreign Minister Zarif present. And at that point, we will find out if people are ready to put concrete proposals on the table. If they are, I think things can move very quickly.
What could this mean for progress on political talks on Syria?
I think the talks on Syria can be used as an opportunity. Iran wants to see all chemical weapons in Syria destroyed. They are basically on our side with regard to that. We can quibble about who used them and that sort of thing. I don't care if there's a diplomatic fiction that Iran and Russia want to maintain. The reality is that Iran wants to get rid of those chemical weapons, and it will back us on that. So I think we have something to work with there. They also want to participate in the Geneva II conference, which would in fact try to find a political solution. They prefer a political solution to a civil war, which ends in a total collapse and basically the takeover of the country by really radical Sunni Islamists. Actually, that is our position as well. So in a peculiar way, we and Iran are sort of on the same page with regard to Syria if we can find the political will to deal with each other. And I would say that the president's phone call, his initiative in this, suggests that the political will is there and that it only needs to be used. So we are moving very rapidly from a situation in which American diplomats had to leave the room when Iranians came in because they were afraid that they might be forced into a contact, to a point where, in fact, they look forward to seeing each other and comparing notes. That is very new, and it actually changes everything. So there's going to be a huge amount of diplomatic fallout from this. There are problems that I will be very interested to see how the Saudis, for instance, react to this. The Israelis, obviously, are going to find this really difficult to deal with. And there are many other players. There are going to be constituencies in this country. Congress is probably going to be very reluctant to go along with this. So we'll see. But the ice really is breaking very rapidly. And when that happens, it is hard to sort of sit back and pretend that nothing's going on, and there is something going on.
Very interesting indeed. Thank you so much for your time, Professor Sick.
Thank you.